Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from the US, Mr. Dave Summers. Dave, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Ashutosh. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Dave is the founder and owner at Pine Mountain Digital, and he's a digital media producer. So let's start with asking you a very broad and overview kind of question. How has the digital world evolved over the past few decades?
Well, I had a ringside seat and I got sucked into the whole, you know, the tide of the change there. A lot of that had to do with my background, which is sort of a combination of creative and technical. Over the past three decades, I mean, the true arrival and ascendance of pretty much everything digital, right? I mean, we made this major shift from analog forms of media delivery, television, radio, books, newspapers, whatever, into the digital space. The internet obviously facilitated that. It put it into like a supercharger and made it go much faster. The ability to digitize anything and everything from an information standpoint or a media standpoint facilitated a lot of that. I mean, scanners, optical character recognition, which could turn written words into spoken words, machines talking, DVDs, you know, for music and for video and all of this other stuff. This ability to not only make it all available, but just continue shrinking it down and compressing it down and compressing it down. And then when you got into when they were actual marketplaces for this type of thing, like iTunes or whatever, you had the ability to be very selective about what titles you wanted to listen to, what content you wanted to consume. These things right here, you know, just made a quantum leap. So, I mean, that's the quick, you know, 1.5 minute, you know, blindingly fast thing. It's that hockey stick graph we all see, you know?
Absolutely. Well said. So let's now move to and start talking about Pine Mountain Digital. Tell me a little bit about this venture and your motivation to start it.
Well, the name of the company came from a suggestion from my wife. When we used to live in Connecticut, I would always take like a 6 to 7 mile hike to a nearby set of mountains that are in the foothills of the Berkshire Mountains. And the place we would go was Pine Mountain. So my wife was, why don't you call it Pine Mountain? I ended up creating Pine Mountain for two big reasons. Number one, I was already doing an awful lot of digital work, helping people with digital video, with podcasts, with video work that they needed done out of my regular job. Okay. And my regular job was digital as well.
Okay.
I helped with webcasts, with webinars. I established a YouTube and curated a YouTube channel for the place that I worked. Then COVID came along. After I was at this company for 14 years and due to right sizing and staff reductions, it was my opportunity to make a jump to become an independent. I had already been doing these independent projects and I saw an opportunity to go further and also help out my company with the reductions they were considering.
Right.
So, and I've been doing that now for 2 years. We relocated from Connecticut to Tennessee, which is where I am. And since my work is virtual, I can be anywhere and do this work. I just need a high bandwidth connection.
Correct.
So that's kind of how I got here.
Very interesting. And you also say that it's important for people to tell their stories. Why do you say so?
Well, at the end of the day, what do you have? At the end of the day, what does any individual, let's start with the individual, have? They have their experiences, the things that went well for them, the things that went bad for them, pardon me, their successes, their failures, the terrible things that happened, the heroic things that happened. You know, and without that, you pretty much have not too much. Life would be pretty boring without stories. And also, you would have an inability to reflect on lessons learned. To me, so much about stories is lessons learned, whether it's a personal type of thing or even a corporate or a scientific or philosophical thing. Without stories, what have you got? You'd wake up every day, you know, 500 first dates, you'd wake up every day and it would be new and you'd have nothing to fall back on, you know? So stories are that basement, are that foundation.
Well said. And, you know, you've been in the digital world for a long time. You're a podcaster. You said you built a successful YouTube channel. What goes into curating a successful podcast? Because everyone seems to be doing it now.
This is, and you can appreciate this, and congratulations on the success of your program over the years. For me, the fundamentals are what the challenges associated with curating a successful podcast are number one, to know your audience. Okay. To really embrace who you think your audience is. I guess pre-step one is finding your audience, right? Or letting that evolve through the first 100 shows or whatever, then they find you. And then, so it's know your audience. Number two, it's be consistent. Be consistent. Oh my gosh. Because of auto downloads and things like that, and people's routines, you become, as a podcaster, you become a part of their daily or weekly routine.
Right.
Okay. It's Thursday morning. I got to hear what Dave has to say about yada yada. You know, oh my gosh, it's a great new program from Ashutosh. And it, you become a stake in the ground for so much of what they. Gives them to think, something to think about and talk about. So consistent. I'll say the last thing, I think the big three, and this word is often abused and overused. So I apologize before I say it to you, but on the other hand, I'm pretty fond of it. And that's being authentic, being authentic to who you are, your voice, your face, your message. That brings it all down to a personal connection.
Right.
And I think those are the big three things for me about curating a successful podcast.
Fascinating. You also say, Dave, that there's need to have killer content.
Yeah.
How do you define the word?
That was sort of tongue in cheek a little bit there, but that's sort of a tip of the hat and a tribute to when I was a kid growing up, AM radio was everything. You listened to the radio in the car or when you got home or whatever. Back then you had, you know, the top 40 list, or Casey Kasem would come on there and maybe there would be some of the same songs and, oh, here's a surprise song on the top. And so killer content to me is like a music analogy, but it relates directly to content in that not only do you know your audience, you're consistently there for them, you're authentic, but perhaps you're a little edgy. You know what I mean? There's I'm going to tell you a really quick story, and this, I won't get too far off track. I used to work with a guy who, his family came from a long line of Greek people who owned diners. I know that sounds like a stereotype, but the fact was, and they said they had like one crazy uncle who used to work in the kitchen, and everybody in the family used to complain that, Uncle Otto or whatever would over-season the food. You put way too much spice in. And he would come out and he would insist, he'd go, I want those people to know that there's a real human being back there. You know what I mean? So arguably he was over-spicing it. But it's killer content to me is spicy content. It makes people sit up and go, hey, I may not agree with it, but there's something to it.
Well said. Well said. What a great response. So Dave, as I just mentioned, everybody seems to be doing...
Everybody.
And everyone tells me, I've got my own podcast.
Yeah.
And then I often ask them, how many have you done? And are you being consistent, as you say very rightly? Right. Yes. And most of them don't.
Yeah.
One of the big challenges most people face is how do they market podcast?
Well, that's... Well, it's right to quote, I think it, I forget the author, but it, you know, it's the tale of two cities, right? I mean, it's the best of times. It's the worst of times. It's the best of times in that you have so many powerful social media platforms where a program like that can exist. You have so many communities that have sprouted up, Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups you can belong to, or and platforms themselves, Instagram, you know, stories or messages, YouTube live streaming. So the good news is there's places for this stuff to live and to show up. Okay. Mm-hmm. The bad news, it's a big ocean out there, and the water seems to be getting higher. And I think for people who aren't prepared, who or don't have an understanding and appreciation for what's involved, your stuff can get lost. So this idea of being consistent, authentic, and you know, ready for the marketplace is key. And you know what?
Yeah,
you can appreciate this almost better than anybody. And I'm so sorry so many of my answers refer to someone like you. It's you got to stick around for a while.
Correct.
Right? Anyhow, I hope that answers your question.
No, and thank you. I mean, you know, you're talking to a very large number of young people, and your words.
This is like an inside baseball conversation. Absolutely. Between
it's
two.
Very important. So, you know, once you've learned how to market a podcast, you know, as an old marketer of fast-moving consumer good products, etc., one of the most important things after getting someone to understand your brand was how do you get repeat purchase?
Oh, yeah.
So my question to you is, how do you build loyalty for a podcast?
That's a great question. For me personally, it had to do with sometimes I would take different approaches. Many times for me, the key was a serialized content where I didn't try to tell a story or solve one guest issue in one program. I would string it out and say, this is the series on, you know, doing business with China, or this is the series on, you know, what's happening at Davos, or, you know, that type of thing, and make it clear to them that even though there was a larger program, there was like a mini series within it that sort of connected the dots and kept people loyal, and it lived on afterwards as a collection. I think that's the other thing too, is to build content. I always try to build content that can be reused, or that can be, and you can appreciate this, that can be chunked up. To me, everything's a Lego brick. Okay. Everything is a Lego brick. And if I'm putting the content together successfully, it can be repurposed. Well, I can, right? And then they can go back and say, oh yeah, this is where that came from.
Wonderful. And my next question is, again, for a lot of fellow podcasters, what are some of the challenges, in your opinion, a lot of podcasters face?
Well, boy, oh boy, we could talk about that a while. I think there are different levels of challenges. I'll call them problems. I'll call them challenges. Okay. I don't know. Baby boomer speak for, you know, keeping it positive. At the base level, you have to have a minimum threshold of technical viability. You have to have pretty good microphone, maybe not an awesome professional microphone, but I mean, you know, it comes down to the basic, what kind of technology you're using, what kind of microphone, what kind of camera, what kind of bandwidth, you know, base level stuff. And you don't have to over-engineer it. You just need to meet that minimum threshold. Okay. You go beyond that, then you get into how elaborate do you want your production to be? Will there be music? Will there be transitions? You know, if it's video, how much of it will be motion graphic based, and will it have to spend in post-production, or, you know, those types of things in terms of production and pre-production. Post-production, again, what kind of platforms are you on? What special pushes or incentives do you do over the course of those things? Another reason I think people mess up a little bit is they don't establish a feedback loop, a way for people to remain in contact, or as I say, you know, kind of show the love, continue the love after the event. Can they telephone you? Can they leave a voicemail message? Can they text you? Is it linked to your LinkedIn profile? You have to loop back around at the end. So there are different levels.
Very interesting. Very interesting. My next question to you is that they seem, you know, in the YouTube, early YouTube days, and you're a YouTuber, it was video. Then everything seemed to suddenly shift to audio because people were listening to podcasts when they were running or exercising or in the car, etc. And now I find video seems to be going through a revival. I would love to get your thoughts on how is the world of podcast changing between audio and video?
Wow. And again, you're exactly right. It's like a pendulum. And I'm not, it's like a circular pendulum, Foucault's pendulum, where it's sort of spinning around. It will come around again, maybe slightly different. The video initially, and it still to a certain extent remains a novelty. It's a Fisher-Price busy box thing to distract me. I find video is, this is going to sound a little abstract, video is an answer in search of a question. I even though I'm a video guy, I try to really only use video what it's appropriate for. Okay, it's a component of a user experience. Specifically, if only Oshkosh can tell me a story, I want to see him. When he introduces himself, I want to see him. When he's answering a question, I want to see him. But if Oshkosh decides to give me the history of the Boxer Rebellion or something like that, I don't need to see him. I can hear his voice and he can put up wonderful pictures. Or if it's an audio thing, I can hear him talking about it. We can have some other things in the background. So I think the challenge is video is making a resurgence. A lot of that is attributable, believe it or not, to TikTok, which is sort of an evil we have to deal with in the short attention span space. But it's I push hard on making sure that the video is appropriate, that it is used to maximum impact, it's not overused, and it doesn't get you in trouble, because people come in with a whole video awareness these days. It's not video, it's visual awareness. Decades of Star Wars movies and IMAX presentations and video games have wedged into our heads what a quality visual experience is. Okay. And so if I'm on a Zoom meeting and somebody has a really bad green screen configuration and it's lit poorly, I'm completely distracted by the weatherman type of effect that's going on around him. So it's one step forward, one step backward. If that makes sense.
No, very, very good.
But we are lucky. We are lucky, and the technology is evolving so quickly. I mean, these devices. Oh my gosh, 4K video, artificial intelligence in there filtering stuff for us. The crazy amount of app selection. It's becoming easier and easier and easier to generate really high quality content.
Said. And of course, now the world of the metaverse seems to offer some amazing
Oh my
opportunities
goodness,
upon
that's a whole other Exactly. Kind of theme park for the mind type of thing.
Absolutely. So, Dave, I've got one more question, and then I've
Sure.
time for two more questions
Sure.
now. Now, the million-dollar question, which I think is there in every podcaster's mind: how does one monetize a podcasting platform?
Okay, well, you could buy any number of books on this topic, and I'm sure you've probably interviewed a busload of people on this topic. For me personally, it has less to do with the direct profit and loss associated with the podcast itself. To me, a podcast is almost always an electron in orbit around a nucleus. If you can get sponsorship dollars, if you can get some subscription money, if you can do that, then awesome. But let's be honest, in the universe of podcasting, that's it happens, but there's not a ton of money to be made unless you're within that 0.01%.
All right.
You know what I'm talking
Yeah.
about.
Yeah.
The other model is a podcast in support of your other intellectual property. Are you an author? Are you a thought leader? Are you a lecturer? Are you a university professor or a C-suite executive? This podcast augments, okay, your personal brand. I mean, the brand called you. And what this podcast can do, or video blog can do, is it can firmly establish you and keep you credible for all those other places where you're probably making the most money. Okay. So I'm on one hand, I'm dodging your question a little bit. And on the other, I'm saying, be honest with yourself. Are people going to pay what kind of monthly subscription for what it is you're offering? Some
Absolutely.
cases they will, but most cases they won't. But you got to show up. That's one of the things I talk about, is upping your show. That way, all of your content, all of the stuff you're selling, everything you go to market with is improved and enhanced. If you're doing a, you know, if you're doing a kick-in job on your podcast program.
Terrific. And my last question to you, and this, I want to come to your podcast. Tell me about your podcast. What is the name of the podcast and what kind of guest you talk about or talk to?
Well, I had a podcast for a very long time, for about a year and a half, 2 years. Oh God, I've done so many podcasts. The one that I did personally was called Reboot. And right when COVID happened, I saw this moment where I had this network of people. We were all asking the same questions. And I just quickly basically called everybody I knew. And I started doing these interviews, eventually on Zoom, but I think initially I might have done it on Skype or something like that. And it was these little, they weren't long. They were like 6 minutes, five, 6 minutes. And I would ask everybody maybe three questions. And a lot of it had to do with how you're coping, where's it going, how's business, you know, that type of thing. And it was also at a point where I had left my previous employer. So I was trying to get traction as well. So it was not only is Dave a credible experience generator type of guy, but oh my God, does he know a lot of smart, cool people, you know, that kind of thing. The video blog I'm doing now is a weekly program called Dawn Patrol. And Dawn Patrol, I go out for walks with my dog, believe it or not, early every morning. And while I'm out there, I reflect on things, primarily things in the digital media or digital storytelling space. Although sometimes I kind of dabble a little bit in management and leadership. It's my background. And I have tons of fun with that. They're short. My, you know, I show my dog at the end. And people are into dogs, that kind of thing. It features like a pop music mix that I put on Spotify. And I also reinforce the visual side of it. I have motion graphics. I have, you know, ironic call to action, stuff like that. And it's just me putting my big, you know, thumbprint on this thing. People like it. People find it entertaining. People find it refreshing. And probably the most important thing for me is it generates conversation. People share and they say, wow, you know, I didn't think about that. Or you have, you reminded me of something or, you know. Thank you for asking.
Wonderful. Dave, on that note, and thank you for talking to me about Dawn Patrol. I don't know if I can hear it, but I look for it on YouTube and some of the other. I don't know if it's available in India, but I'm sure it might be on Spotify. So I look for it. Thank you for talking to me about the digital world, about the world of podcasting. Thank you for sharing your amazing understanding of the world of podcasting. Thank you also for your words of wisdom about to be an effective podcaster, know your audience, be consistent, and be authentic. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck to you.
I'm honored. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.